This is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. In the intro and outro of this episode, I mentioned a webinar coming up on July 21st. It's actually July 28th. I had a schedule shift. So the website correctly lists the date as July 28th, but just want to let you know that when I say July 21st, pretend that I'm saying July 28th. Thanks and enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help members of the military community thrive in their civilian career. Today's episode number 361, Purpose After Military Service with Craig Feilich.
I have to echo that. At the beginning of the year, I don't think I would have thought I'd be participating in something like this, but I think one of my biggest takeaways is I've got more clarity on the direction I should be going, and that's really, I was kind of all over the map before this, and got some focus, which is one of my greatest takeaways. So very appreciative of it.
Well, normally on the show, I have on military veterans who are talking about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for others seeking to do the same. Today, we're deviating from that format to have back on the show a friend of mine and colleague of mine, Craig. Back in January, we had him on the show to talk about something that has come up in almost every single one of the 350 interviews I've done with Beyond the Uniform, and that is purpose, redefining one's purpose once one leaves the military. And as we talked about, it's also something that people have to do multiple times throughout their life, constantly reevaluating and seeing if their values have held true, if there's new insights about their purpose and the mission that is driving their life. So back in episode 339, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes at beyonduniform.org. In episode 339, Craig and I sat down to talk about purpose mapping, which is his life's work, which is a process I spent weeks going through with him one-on-one and defining my own purpose. You know, 10 years out of the military, redefining that purpose again. And Craig and I talked about that in episode 339. Definitely check it out if you haven't listened to it already. Shortly after that, Craig and I co-hosted a 90-minute live seminar. We had over 90 people register for that event. And in those 90 minutes, Craig worked with people one-on-one as a group and walked through tactical steps to uncover one's purpose, a structure for defining and discovering your purpose in life. And the webinar was really well received, and we rolled that into a 10-week masterclass where we met for 90 minutes to 2 hours every single week for 10 weeks with a group of 5 individuals, all of whom were either active duty or military veterans, to help them figure out their purpose. And so today's episode, Craig and I sat down after that 10-week seminar. We did a 1-month check-in with everyone. We sat down to just kind of compare notes and have a discussion around what we learned about doing this purpose work with military veterans. And the biggest thing I want you to know, in addition to today's episode, is that we are going to be doing another webinar on July 21st, 2020, July 21st at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Craig and I will co-host a 90-minute seminar. And for those of you who joined last time, it'd be worth joining again. If you missed last time, it's definitely worth doing this one live because Craig will take even more time this time to work with people one-on-one after he kind of lays the foundation for everyone and walks you through a worksheet that you'll get to help you start to uncover your purpose. And I cannot recommend this enough. It's something that I'm very grateful to have participated in with Craig these last 10 weeks. And it's something we plan to do multiple times a year. And so the next step, if you're interested in that, is to go to the website or the show notes of this. The URL is beyonduniform.org/purpose-mapping-webinar, purpose mapping webinar. And I'll link to that in the show notes for this episode. But if you are excited by this, don't wait. sign up, register. It's completely free. 90 minutes. We will use every single minute efficiently. I promise you that. And I will say, and you'll hear this in my interview with Craig, this is incredibly powerful work. And I have not found anyone even close to the realm with Craig with this work of taking people and helping them go from 0 to 100 in terms of feeling on purpose in their life and defining who they are, what sets them apart, and what they want to do to make a dent in this world for the better. So if that excites you, check out beyondtheuniform.org/purpose-mapping-webinar. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Craig. Well, Craig, welcome back to Beyond the Uniform, your second appearance on the podcast. And I have to say, it's been so much fun the last 10 weeks doing this work with you. I feel like I'm going through a little bit of withdrawals of not having our weekly evening sessions with you and the group.
Yeah, it was so much fun, and I'm looking forward to the next round with you.
Well, I just wanted to bring listeners up to speed, and about maybe, 3 months ago, maybe we held a webinar, and we spent 90 minutes where you were just kind of working with people and helping them make progress towards defining their purpose. And then we had about 6 people sign up to go deep with us, and we took 10 weeks with them. We met every single Wednesday night for 2 hours, and there was sometimes up to 4 hours, 5 hours of homework every week. And so a lot of reading and reflection and journaling. And we went on this, it felt like a Lord of the Rings type journey of having everyone together over 10 weeks and just really being brutally honest with each other and digging deep and working to refine each of our purpose and our mission and milestones in achieving that mission. So I was excited to have you back on the show for us just to, you know, it's an unscripted riffing on what stood out to us, kind of what our takeaways were from working with people. And maybe to start off, what's one thing that stood out to you from this experience?
You know, I think it's so important to do these types of recaps and integrate and sort of, you know, curate and cultivate the learnings, really harvest the learnings after any mission, right? We always want to do a kind of a postmortem of, you know, what went well, what can we do even better the next time? And that's how we improve through iterations. But, you know, to your question, I typically work with entrepreneurs and professionals, you know, doctors, lawyers, these types of people. I rarely, you know, I've worked with a couple of veterans, but I've never worked with a group of veterans. And I think the thing that stood out for me the most was in every single call, right? When we got to the time when everybody was going to get some laser coaching, and it was always like, okay, who would like to go first? And it was crickets. And it was like, I started to realize after about 4 or 5 weeks in, I was like, they're just not gonna step up and put themselves first. Everybody that we were serving was so service oriented that they were completely willing to go last. They wanted somebody else to go first. They wanted to put somebody else first. And it's almost bringing tears to my eyes right now. It's just so touching that, you know, the people that are serving our country have that orientation. Mm-hmm. And so that was the big honor for me, was to be able to serve the veterans. And that's my biggest takeaway.
That's great. I hadn't put that one together, and it is kind of, you know, my mind instantly went to you know, the acronym I always heard for Navy was Never Again Volunteer Yourself, and so that's where my mind went. But I can see that trend of not wanting to take up space, or it's almost like a scarcity mentality of like, if I take time, that's going to take time away from someone else. That's actually incredibly true in my experience for myself and the people that I've had on the show. That's really interesting. I think one of the first things that stood out to me was, and again, I don't have the long lens that you do around different types of people, but it really came through in the webinar and then in this journey that, there seems to be a universal longing for purpose. And I don't know if the military is more likely to attract people who are purpose-driven or who are looking to be bigger, part of something bigger than themselves. But it came through on each call, like a very, from each of, you know, six different individuals, each of them having a similar yearning to contribute more to their families, their community, the workplace, the world in general, and to also really long for clarity of like, what is my mission? What am I uniquely able to do? And I certainly identify with that as well, but it just kind of raised this hypothesis for me that the military might tend to attract people that are purpose and mission driven. And then that sense of almost, I picture Wile E. Coyote running off the cliff and then slowly realizing there's no ground underneath him. And that moment of panic, I feel like many of us go through that of just realizing that the purpose that was our foundation for so long is now gone. And we really have to, it's incumbent on us to figure out what that next purpose will be.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that as well. And, you know, what struck me as you were speaking is that it's not just, you know, because I do think we're all innately driven towards purpose and meaning, right? And flow, because I think flow and purpose are synonymous. But what I notice with the military population is a dedication. Like, I'm going to make the sacrifices. I'm going to become more so that I can serve, and I'm willing to step into very uncomfortable situations, environments, positions, relationships, you know, whatever it takes in order to find that sense of purpose and meaning in service, in contribution, you know, to something greater than myself. And that was, mm-hmm. that was very impressive to me. It was really, it was awesome. Like in the sense of I was in awe.
Yeah, I love that. And another thing that stood out to me was, it was a powerful reminder to me because, you know, 10 weeks, that was over 20 hours of time together. That's, and in very, a very vulnerable capacity of being very honest about what motivates us and who we really are. And that might be different than what we've been told or what we've thought in the past. But one thing that stood out to me is like, this is work that you can't do alone. This is work you can't do in isolation. And the two things that stood out to me is first of all, when you are working with people, and I'm sure the other six people would agree with this, when you are working with people one-on-one in the group, there were moments where I saw the person you were work with, like the light bulb goes off, their body and their face relaxes, or they let out a sigh, and you really see a shift in their understanding of themselves or their purpose. Like you really, it's like the blocks are sinking down in the foundation. And it was really amazing to watch. And it's kind of, again, it was like, you're just tugging at these little strings. You're maybe changing a word or asking a question or pointing out something that they would not have been able to do on their own. And I loved that sense that just having someone external who isn't so caught up in everything that it's easier to see those little insights or to offer something from the work that you've done. And the other part of that, this thought of not going it alone, is the number of times that you would be working with someone and it would benefit someone else or the entire group, where they would say like, oh yeah, I relate to that. Or even, you know, the members seeing another member articulate a struggle or something like that, they're like, oh, I might not have been able to put that into words myself, but now that they've said it, yeah, that makes sense for me. And the sense, that's why it felt like a camaraderie of like learning from each other and learning together. And I just really want to stress that like this sort of work, it's really is impossible for me to think of these breakthroughs coming through from someone reading a book or journaling 30 minutes a day, or I just, you know, it's you need others around you on that journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, I learned this years and years ago. And I think you and I, we met through men's work with John Wineland. And so we saw it a lot there as well, is, you know, we're all mirrors for each other. And so we don't reflect, 100% in everybody, but we reflect 20% or 30%, right? And so when you get a group together, you kind of get that 360 effect of like, oh, I got a little, I gleaned something from, their one-on-one time with, in coaching. And then I gleaned a little something from their one-on-one Q&A time. And over the course of the call and over the course of the 10 weeks, there's so much, many facets of reflection that it brings up all the little blind spots, whether they're, something huge and obvious, or whether it's just that little insight that unlocks something that 2 weeks later is like, oh, I've been struggling with this for decades. And now suddenly it's clear. And that's what I live for, is those aha moments, whether I'm coaching somebody one-on-one, which is what I usually do, having that moment of literally the dopamine lights up their brain. And I get to sit there and watch that, and it changes their face and the light in their eyes, and they go, whoa. But then to do that in a group and have two or three people's light bulbs going off at the same time, and then by the end of the call, everybody's lit up. That is such a cool experience. And you can never get that alone. It's by definition a group experience.
I love that image of the mirroring. That's a powerful thought of just kind of reflecting. And I love that. I was also struck by, we had although it was all military community, it was diverse in terms of gender, in terms of branch of service. Most were veterans, one was active duty, but and I want to honor the anonymity of the group, but it stood out to me that as we defined purpose and started to go deeper into mission, two of the people was about their relationship with their children or with their partner and shifting that dynamic. One was around someone who was going to start a family and take what I think was probably one of the more powerful moments for me, when this person was talking about fostering a child and taking steps towards that. And one person, it seemed like, was a pretty big epiphany around the type of work that they wanted to do. They've been out of the military for years and wanting to change that career. And then one person was just, it just felt like foundational, how they show up in the world and who they are and changing relations with themselves and with family members. And just that just felt like this tectonic plate shifting. And so it was interesting to me that, given the similarity of backgrounds, just given where people are at in life and what their unique aspirations are, the missions were very divergent. It wasn't, my mission is to keep our country safe, which we all had in common, but it's like, man, we're all going after different things now, and very, very unique and differentiated missions that were driving each member.
Yeah. And some of them were kind of like very obvious. And it was this sense of, oh, well, that's been relatively clear to me, but now that you put it this way, I'm going to allow myself, there's like a relaxation of like, oh, I don't have to do anything else but the thing that my heart is just drawn towards, right? And it just created this, I call it the chiropractic adjustment to the soul. It creates this sense of internal alignment. Whereas for some of the other people, it was like, wow, I didn't even see that coming, but that is so cool. And it's so clearly on point. Mm-hmm. And all the baggage about social conditioning and family conditioning, perhaps religious conditioning, or even the military conditioning, now that they're out, however long of a period of time, there's a sense of like, oh, I can just be aligned with myself. I don't have to be, I use the metaphor of like, there's train tracks and then the conditioning kind of cocks the wheels, 3 to 5%. So it's kind of grinding down the tracks and there's all this friction. You get that chiropractic adjustment and it's just, whew, and everything feels aligned. And there's just this sense of like, cool, I can put all of my energy, all of my resources, all of my talents and powers in the direction of the thing that matters most to me. And I really don't have to worry about the rest because it kind of takes care of itself when I'm on fire for the thing that matters most to me.
Mm. When you say that, it's like the realization for me is how powerful it is for people. Like the two things are, one, people giving themselves permission to embrace or go after that. And that's true. Like it wasn't like all of these were things way out of left field. It wasn't like all of them were like, oh, I want to be an astronaut on the moon all of a sudden. And how powerful it is though, just to have the permission to say like, oh yeah, this is what's right for me. I'm going to do it. And the flip side of that is how powerful it is to be seen and heard in that. And I think that that's one of the, because I made a note about the connection piece that was really powerful of, you know, it's not like it's, I feel like in traditional interactions, it's almost like a script. What do you do for a living? Like we kind of like hash out the same ground and we don't cover much of any of that in these workshops. And so I love the depth of relationship you can have with someone without really knowing the standard laundry list of things that you know about people. And then to be seen by them of saying like, this is like, to almost like step into it and have ownership. This is who I am. These are my values. This is the things about myself that I hate to admit. These are things that are painful about that I hate about myself. And these are the gifts that brings about. And this is what I'm going after. I think there's a lot of value in being seen in that and being witnessed, I think, as you make these realizations. It was very powerful to see.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we go into, I call it shadow work light. I mean, you and I have done like serious shadow work. And that takes, you know, that takes a year of building a container and, you know, like that's the focus of it. You know, with purpose mapping, it's a part of it, but, you know, like you said, there's always a gift, right? Every adversity contains the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit is one of my favorite quotes from Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And so we get the gold out of the shadow, you know, it's kind of the white dot and the black side of the yin yang. And to be witnessed in those ways of being that we wish weren't part of us, but that are innately part of us, and to just be witnessed and still loved and still respected and actually respected more for bringing it forward and owning it, because everybody can see it anyways. You know, we might not have a name for it, but once we kind of put it on the map, so to speak, and it's like, oh, you know, and then everybody goes, well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of obvious and I love you anyways, and there's no problem here. And I got my own version of that. And everybody by the end of the call is like, yeah, okay. All right. I can, you know, I can take that energy, attention, and power that I've been using to push away that part of me. And I can use it to double down on my strengths, which are also crystal clear to me now and, you know, razor sharp and, you know, that burning tip of the spear kind of image that I can then put the energy into that direction. That's what creates that sense of flow and that sense of, whoa, time stops. You know, my ego falls away. The inner critic that's telling me I'm such a bad person for X, Y, Z part of me, that just disappears when we're fully aligned with our purpose. And so I think there's that sense of, you know, I remember there was a couple of calls where, you know, I would literally say, can you guys all see that about them? Because, you know, there were the person that I was coaching in that moment, it was like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, can you guys see that? And everybody's like, yeah, totally. And they're like, okay, all right. You know, whether it's, you know, strengths or weaknesses, right, whatever, it's like, okay, I can digest that. And so the group really helps to metabolize all these different parts of ourselves until we've distilled it down to the most nourishing, you know, I call it the haiku, right? Just a couple of keywords that help us put that north, south, east, west on the map so we maintain our orientation to life really for the rest of our lives. We've got this framework. So yeah, the group process is so powerful, and that's why I'm excited to do this again with you.
I had forgotten about that piece too, because at one point, maybe midway through, part of your curriculum that they have access to is them following a protocol for getting 360 feedback and reaching out to friends and families. And it was similar. There was a lot of things where they're like, yeah, these are the things that I kind of knew about myself. These are the things I didn't realize. And we had that in the group as well of like, I loved when you would do that. It's like the person is grappling with something of like, am I like this? And you're like, do you guys see this? And everyone's like, yes, of course this person is like this. But when we're in our own little bubble, it can be really hard to see these things about ourselves.
And we can beat ourselves up mercilessly, you know, because the things that we're hiding, repressing, and denying, I mean, just to do a brief psych 101, you know, that those shadow parts of us, right? Shadow is what we hide, repress, and deny. And those parts, that happens in childhood, right? It's the social conditioning, it's the family conditioning of no, good boys don't do those things, good girls don't say those things. And we go, oh no, mama, I'm not this bad boy that does those things. I don't hit my brother and take his candy. I'm this good boy, even though I do, right? I hide that part because I want my mom to take me home and put me in a nice warm bed and feed me and love me and not leave me out for saber-toothed tiger food. I mean, this is hundreds of thousands of years of genetic evolution, right? And we repress these parts. But as we get into midlife, into our 30s and 40s and 50s, we have to turn back and say, okay, what was that I discarded and disregarded, that I've been using almost half my energy every day to repress this other half of my energy that I have been taught is not okay? Once we dig into that and kind of excavate it and pull it out, it's like, oh, it was just this tiny little, you know, you ever get a sliver and it hurts so much and you get it out and you can barely see it and you're like, ah, oh, that was like nothing. And you kind of, right, you're done with it. There's that experience of when we get witnessed in it and when we put it on the map and just kind of see it for what it is, it loses its power. And we get all that energy back again to put into and double down on our strengths, invest in, you know, going in the direction we most want to go. And that's when things just take off in our lives. And I'll be very excited. You know, we should do like a 6-month check-in with everybody from this group and just see how they're doing, because things start happening really quick once you get that alignment.
I love that. I mean, and I got my purpose map that's been on my desk here for 6 months now. And I remember when you and I worked together, you know, we did this, and one of the words that came out of it for me around my gold was the word rugged.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was a big insight for me. And I remember during this journey, I posted in our Facebook group for the purpose mapping group that I went for a run one morning. It was like snowing out and I went for a run in like shorts and a t-shirt. And that was specifically to cultivate that attribute. It was like, oh, I know that this is something good in me that I bring to the world, and I want to deepen in that. It felt like in our work, you helped me identify something, and then I could come up with exercises to isolate that muscle and to really try to get better at it. So I love that sense of like, once we have clarity on our strengths, it just allows us to focus more attention and energy to do that, rather than this nebulous spaghetti mix of things. And the other piece that came through when you were saying that is just realizing like how, let's just broaden this to purpose or understanding oneself. It's so different than any other work that we do in our lives. It's not the straightforward work of preparing for a final exam. It's not reading chapters 1 through 10 and memorizing answers. It's not even, not to oversimplify, but it's not, you know, we're going to take this hill. I know there's a lot of complexity that goes into that sort of war scenario, but this work is so inherently messy and nebulous and not straightforward. And I can think of every single person in our group, if you were to chart on a line graph, like there were calls where they were ending in the dumps and then on top of the mountain. And it was like this tornado of throwing people in and their structure, but it's like really digging deep and then not knowing and having certainty and confusion. And I want to honor, first of all, the incredible curriculum and process you put together to be a river guide and hold people's hands through this tsunami, but also just naming for listeners, like for those of you who do want to better understand yourself, or you do want to find a deeply true calling and purpose, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not as easy as listening to a podcast and you've got it and you're going. It really is a lifelong commitment that will exercise different muscles and use different structures and supports than you've probably ever used before in your life.
Yeah, I think the nature of the hero's journey is that we leave the ordinary world, right? Where everything is just the same every day. We're kind of, you know, turning the crank, just grinding it out. And then there's this sense of there's got to be something more, you know, or maybe the question occurs as, okay, now what? What's next? What's next for me? And we have this sense. And if we watch movies like, you know, Star Wars or The Matrix or Harry Potter or even The Wizard of Oz, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. Something kind of swoops us up and says, okay, you know, you meet the mentor and then you cross the threshold and you're in a different space. And that's really, you know, that river guide metaphor you use, you know, that's the journey that we take people on is, you know, I use the analogy of the caterpillar. Right? It doesn't just go into the cocoon and strap on butterfly wings and come out. It goes into the cocoon and it literally breaks down, right? Its identity breaks down. Its caterpillarness breaks down. And at a certain point, it reaches what I call the point of maximal dissolution. It can't break down anymore. It literally turns into snot. Well, you can't do that just out on a branch without the container and the safety and the protection of the cocoon. So the first thing we have to do is build that container, and that's what those 10 weeks are. And then we kind of slowly melt people down, right? And by, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th session in, there's this sense of like, I don't know which way's up. I can't, you know, my bearings are all scrambled. Is this even working? I want to eject. I'm terrified. But the group process and the sense that there is another step and there, and just do the homework and show up next week and we'll get you through it. And everybody got through it. You know, what happens in the caterpillar is there's something called imaginal cells. And what that means is they contain the image of, or the architectural blueprint of, the butterfly. Now, what's fascinating is the imaginal cells are there from the very beginning of the caterpillar, and they're always there, but the caterpillarness, right? I was a philosophy major, so we'll talk about the caterpillarness in air quotes. The caterpillarness expunges those imaginal cells like they're pathogens, right? It just destroys them. But when the caterpillarness breaks down sufficiently, right, when the previous identity, when the, you know, I'm a this or I'm a that, or I can't do this or I can only do that, when all that starts to melt down, those imaginal cells can, at the point of maximal dissolution, they take over and they take all the same material, right, that was already there your entire life, and it reorganizes it. And then that creates the butterfly. And then eventually the butterfly squeezes through the crack in the cocoon. It kind of squeezes the water out of the wings, right? My daughter hatched caterpillars in Montessori school. And, you know, her mom was a teacher there. And there was one that was kind of struggling to get out. So they opened it up. And that caterpillar didn't make it. It needed to squeeze through that essentially birth canal to get the water out of its wings so that it was easy to, you know, basically land on a rock, open its wings, the sun dries it, and next thing you know, it's flying. And that's what's happening to everybody in the group. It's like, whoa, like all of a sudden I was in this scary place and now I'm flying. Like, how did that happen? That's the majesty of this process. The part that I find the most interesting is the human heart contains imaginal cells. And so that's the work that we're doing. And that's what you and I got to witness. It was just beautiful. I mean, to see people take flight, it's like, wow, where did that come from? But it was in you all along.
But what's eerie for me as you're saying that, something that clicked is as you were describing that, the completely different experience that came to mind and yet is so similar is the traditional boot camp of taking a diverse group of people with different skill sets and backgrounds and putting them through a process that's very nonsensical. They're doing things that just seem absurd, and there's so many different things happening all at once. And then over the course of time, they become a single unit. Over the course of time, they have shared values and skill sets, and they can work as a team. And it's almost as if when you're describing this, it's like you've engineered a reverse boot camp of helping people untangle of like, ah, I get now, you know, maybe where I picked this up when I was 5 years old, but that's not who I am, or that's not what I want to be. Those aren't my values. That was put on me. Or, you know, I was chasing this, but now I've changed and that doesn't hold any meaning. But this over here really has the juice that I want to go after. And it's, there just seems to be parallels there of this incredible crucible experience where it's, you know, boot camp, I don't think anyone would say is a straightforward, intuitive process, but it's been refined to sculpt warriors from civilians. What I appreciate about this purpose mapping journey is it's like a very, very different approach to take people to really help them define their new purpose, their new values, their new goal and mission. And that's very powerful.
Yeah, it's individuation. It's individuation. And it's all about, you know, what is the internal design? What are you wired for? Right? Because most people that I work with, and, you know, this group was, you know, no exception, highly capable people, right? They could pretty much do anything that they put their minds to. But, you know, I mean, I'll just use myself as an example. I'm never going to, I can't even play like pickup basketball, you know, like it's just not like, forget it. Right. You know, and so people say, well, that's a fixed mindset and you should, you know, you should apply yourself and you could do anything if you can believe it and achieve it, whatever. You know, we want to increase your odds. We want to make it a little bit easier. And we want to figure out, well, what are you wired for right out the gate? So like I use the example of a border collie. You know, you take a border collie and you put it in a high-rise apartment in Manhattan, and that dog is going to be so anxious, it licks a hole in its paw, you know, just from sitting around all day. But I saw a border collie out in the middle of the desert in Nevada, and, you know, that dog was herding sheep and it didn't have a leash and it didn't have a fence and it didn't, you know, all it had was its purpose. And that dog, that was the happiest dog I think I've ever seen in my life. It was calm and centered and collected and on point and very aware of everything of its environment. And if anything got out of line, it was on it. And so that's really what we're trying to do, is we're trying to figure out, you know, what are you born for? What are you designed for? And once you get that clear, because it is always there, but once you bring it front and center and you go, oh, and everybody goes, yeah. And you go, really? Yeah. Okay. And then they come back the next week and they're just like on fire. And they're like, this is it. Everything else reassembles, you know, your whole life, all your priorities and what you do all day, it all reorganizes around that focus. Life just gets clear and simple, and your decisions all become easy because they're all gauged against that litmus test of, is this what I'm born for or not? And it just gets very, very cut and dry at that point.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to go on this journey again with you with multiple groups, but, and I'm excited too, in the show notes, we'll have more information about a webinar if you're listening to this live in a couple of weeks that, you'll get a chance, 90 minutes, absolutely free, 90 minutes of doing some of this on your own and seeing Craig work with people. But it's really powerful, and it's like you're helping people rebuild the foundations of what will become cathedrals, the cathedral of their life. And it's, in my view, it's very noble work to help people get this clarity and figure out the butterfly or the shape that they want to take. And yeah, I'm excited to continue this journey with you.
Yeah, it's an absolute honor. And, you know, I want to invite you, if you're listening, you know, we're going to do this 90-minute webinar. And, you know, the point is to get a chance to meet each other, you know, and see, is this the right fit? Are Justin and I the right guides for you? Is this something that you feel called to? You know, are you in the grind? Are you in the ordinary world? You know, does listening to this podcast light you up enough to say, this could be my call to adventure? Let me come and meet the mentors. Maybe I'll cross the threshold. But this is the opportunity to find out and to get a little flavor and get a little coaching. You know, we're going to invite everybody who wants to get some one-on-one time with me. I'm happy to coach people, and probably won't get to everybody. We didn't last time, but we got to enough people where you get a sense of, yeah, I could see myself taking this journey, and then we can talk about what the next steps are.
Awesome. Thank you, Craig. We'll hope to see all our listeners at this webinar.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you so much for listening. I just want to give one last plug. If you enjoyed today's interview, make sure to check out episode 339, where Craig and I go into a lot more detail about what this work looks like. But most importantly, sign up for our webinar on July 21st at 6 p.m. 90 minutes. Craig and I both will be working with multiple people during that call. You'll get a worksheet. You'll be able to start filling out a good portion of that worksheet and having tangible next steps to start identifying your strengths, your weaknesses, your purpose, your mission, your next milestone towards achieving that mission. A lot of ground that we cover in that 90 minutes. So the link is in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org, or you can go to beyondtheuniform.org/purpose-mapping-webinar. Thanks, and we'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.